Bell. We're going back into our teaching this morning, Training the Human Spirit. We had started off on this subject. I had just a little bit, a couple sessions I talked about really where the Lord dealt with me in the areas of the of being a soldier. We talked to emphasize pretty much onto that, because just the training-wise and requirements really that's needed, the discipline that's needed to, if we're going to, you know, train our human spirit, it takes time, and it takes repetition, and that's really it's one of the things I think about. Randall Greer really talks a lot about. He said it's one of the things that's lost in the church today, as he believes one of the things that it is, because our society today doesn't like repetition at all. They always like something new. And he said, he talked about training-wise, he said that's one of the greatest problems. He said, he said, Brother Hagin delivered me from the fear of repetition. He said, because Brother Hagin was, I mean, he was a guy who would go over the same things and teach the same things over and over and over and over and over and over and over, and over, and over again. I mean, you could sometimes go in Brother Hagin's class, and he would, when I was there, he'd teach. He didn't, after I left, the year after I left, he didn't do as much teaching in the students after that. So, not as much himself. The other people teach. But, Brother, I mean, you could go in class one day and he'd teach on a certain thing, and he'd come in and teach the same thing the next time you saw him. He'd teach, you know, and I just sort of figured, well, we must not have got it the last time. Because God would, I said, I know this man could hear from God. So, he'd come back. Talking the same stuff again. he's saying it again. So I think, well, we better pay attention here. Some people would complain about that, didn't like it. And so that repetition. But it is, I've had to go over things over and over and over and over and over and over until it really sinks and gets into you when you want to get it in your spirit. But in teaching these, and I'm using things from Brother Hagin's teachings on this about it. I mean, surely he was a man who, man, he did a great job of training his own human spirit. And so I figured he knew a little bit more about the subject than Ed knew. But I just began to practice the things that he said. And the first one we had talked about was meditating on the word, where God had told Joshua in the first chapter in verse 8, where God had told him, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. So the words, to prosper and have good success comes after the doing. But it doesn't start with the doing. So there's a process. And see, many people, they want to get over they want that area, prosperous and success. And that's where they try to start. And sometimes people made the mistake. Here's a mistake that I made, that I found, especially young Christians starting off. And I find many make this mistake. We try to do, and you'll see even with kids, and I watch it, I see it in children. Like, you know, I watch it in Braden and other kids. They see somebody who is well trained in something, or something, an adult does something and does it, so, and they try to copy them. And it just is terribly hard for them. And they can't do it, and they get frustrated, and they... spiritually, I mean, I did that to myself. I would hear things taught, Brother Hagin would talk about things, but I really didn't have it in me what he had in him. And I'm trying to do what he did. And it would get frustrating because it wasn't working. But I found over time, I hadn't really got it into me. I didn't know as much as I thought I knew about it or understood. And so he said... you shall meditate on it day and night. So in other words, is the idea is this: you just don't up and grab this stuff. Meditation is so you can do. That's the whole point of meditation. So you come to the place you really know how to do something. You understand what to do with it. And, you know, somebody, you know, goes to school, whether it be, you know, some guy wants to be a surgeon or whatever. You don't want him operating on people after the first or second class. Teaching on surgery. They're going to go into their surgery classes now, and they're going to start in. They've learned a little bit about body anatomy. Now they want to explore on you. Don't think so. Well, in a sense, I tried to do some of that spiritually. You know, I would go over there and try to do a little bit of operation over in those areas, and because I had an anatomy class, and I just I didn't do well. The patients died. pretty quick. But you're not knowing what to do, and so you mess things up, and then you know you get frustrated and say, "Well, I don't understand, man. I'm doing what God said," and really I wasn't, because I didn't really understand what God said. And you know, that's part of going through the childhood thing of Christianity. I had to learn that I just had to, you know, some things you're gonna have to continue to practice to do till you get good at it. You know, it's just spiritually it's the same way. You know, you might end up with a number of failures on things, but you get over in the areas is like just in the natural, where they take you in a learning to do something and you take that thing and start doing it over. Experience is a, in those areas as a teacher. I know Randall Greer talked about, he said one of the things that he said they were doing today, and he was talking about in the church world. He said in their ideas, you know, they have this, they want to reach young people. So they're bringing young people in the church and they're turning around and starting letting them to run stuff and do things. And he said, oh, they're smart about things. And people say, and he said, hold it. He said, I don't care how much a man knows. He said, experience will trump it every time. The man who has experience in doing something is always better than the person who just has the information on it. Is because the more experience that you have at doing it, I mean, doing it and practicing, it will train you like nothing else will. I mean, there's no other way. I don't know any other way of doing it. You know, I remember sitting in the service and all these theory classes we had on electronics. I mean, they'd sit and run you theory classes where you get the schematics out. They would teach you all this stuff. You learn reading these schematics and that stuff. And you know, you go there and look inside the circuit board, and it didn't look nothing like that schematic, did it? It didn't look nothing. There, this was a whole new game. And I mean, they had taught us everything to their perfection. And then you got into the real electronic world, and you found out everything wasn't perfect. You know, just like the laptop I got here. What on earth is that? What's happening there? You know, they're saying that's, and you find that out. But you know what? You can't beat somebody that has experience, because I found this out. The more experience that I had in the field, I could ask more questions from the standpoint, well, if this isn't working, what about, well, if you have an experience in it, you would never ask the questions about certain things. You'd never look at certain things, because you'd just be going by the theory that you're taught. And I remember being in the field in Vietnam, and we had these guys would come in, these tech reps from these companies. These guys were great theorists, but we're not very good in practical. We'd have to tell them how what to do. They would tell you, oh, this does this and that. And we said, no, don't. And then I show it to them. Huh. So, yeah, we learned that too. The theory stuff we taught. Hey, don't knock the theory stuff. I mean, there's a great application of that. You need that. But if that's all you got, experience. And as I learned, one of the biggest things that helped me in training, I'll never forget when I arrived in Vietnam working on equipment, because the equipment I was working on was totally different than I was originally trained on. So we got in there, and I had a guy, they put me on a thing, because they sent me to a company to help them with a program. They were repairing field radios, and they just didn't have experienced people, because they were like, I was a fifth echelon maintenance. I could fifth echelon maintenance. Most of these people were second, maybe a couple guys, third, not much. So I remember them taking, they had a guy who was really good on this new field radio. Nobody else knew about repairing it except him. He was the only one. And he had a lot of experience on it. And I got this, they didn't just put me on the radio, they let me go with him. And his experience on it was much better than the theory, because you could sit and read the book on it. But his experience was much better than the theory. The theory stuff was all right. There's things you needed to know to read about it. But what he knew from his experience of working on it was hugely, hugely helpful. And so, you know, I've always done that. Look, the guy has the experience. You know, if you want to know, ask the guy that knows something more than you do about who has worked on it. Not just the guy who has the most schooling. You might find somebody that knows less than you. Sometimes that happens. You get somebody that's loads of information. So we meditate on the Word of God. So what? We can begin to do something. That's a huge important part of doing it, because in the doing then comes the prosper. Because you make your way prosper. You prosper in the doing. You don't prosper in the learning. You prosper in the doing. You want to learn it, or never know how to do it, but you prosper. You know, you could just, I mean, if you want to, you know, just put it the way that it is, this is the great lack of, right here is why our school systems don't work. It's all in the learning part of it. It's all in the meditation, in a sense. But they don't teach to do. And so people never gain. They're leaving. I told you, you know, about a guy I know who taught out how many years in tech school, teaching electronics in a tech school. He was very good at it. His students would, getting job-wise, I mean, these guys would go out in the field and get jobs. But he didn't. He taught theory, but he also trained in actual experience of working on equipment. And these guys, you know, they had a great reputation of being able to be hired by a company, and other people coming out of colleges with, in so-called electronic engineering. Like he said, my sister graduated electronic engineering from Penn State and had 1 hour of actually working. 1 hour. He said, any of my students, he said the least of my students, the guys who came out with the lowest grades, he said, knew so much more than she did. They said, you put them out there, they know things are going on. They've been working, that experience part. So, and that's one thing, as I say, is in the military. I think that was a great part of their military training, because in there, they spent a lot of time with you working on stuff. They spent a lot of time with you actually, where you had your theory classes. That was one of the things that, do you ever think about the military takes guys out here and in electronics who have never even been in electronics in their life? Like with me, I'd never been in electronics in my life, never. 32-week course, and you could probably figure out almost all the electronic stuff that they had at that time of how to repair and do stuff. Now, definitely out of that field today. Electronics has changed a lot. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. But, I mean, if you think about new equipment comes out, you always had to go back to some schooling on some, because things change. Like the Vietnam War brought in integrated circuitry, stuff like that. That really brought huge. Electronics changed enormously during the Vietnam War, of the type of equipment that they use. But the Air Force takes guys that have never worked in it and put them working on electronics for, say, these aircraft, these fighters and stuff. I mean, you talk about stuff that's out there. And they train them, of course. Those guys don't go to school for 4 or 6 years. You know, some of them don't even go to college, you know, courses even last a year. And they go out and they go in a course, and they're out there working to keep them things running. It's amazing. But it's doing the right things. But you know what? Really, they're following this pattern. And that's what's not followed in the schools. They don't follow. There's not a pattern in following. And this will help you in any area of your life. If you follow this, it works on the Word of God. You know, it's God's wisdom. And I always figured God was a little smarter than Ed, so... We'll just stick with God on that. We talked about the fact that, and here I was saying about doing, because the meditation starts on the meditating and then it goes to the doing, because success is in the doing, and so you've got to practice it. James had said that the doer of the word, he said in James the first chapter, verse 22, he says, but he who does, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Verse 25, he said, but he who looks in the perfect law of liberty and continues in it does not forget, is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in his doings, which is really what Joshua, God had told Joshua. The doing is where the blessing comes from. One of the problems today is many people think that the blessing comes in the knowing. Because I used to emphasize, used to say a lot, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's true. But you can't take that scripture in itself and say, well, if I gain a lot of knowledge, then I won't be destroyed. Dear Lord, I've watched over the years in churches and Christians, I've watched Christians who have been taught all the right stuff and just get destroyed. And they're destroyed on the basis of doing. They don't do it. It doesn't matter what you know if you don't do what you know. And the doing is where the blessing is, where we're blessed from. In other words, and as Joshua said, and get a hold of this, because they have this idea, you get a lot from the church world. Well, I have believed something, and now, and especially in the faith people, I'm making the right confession. But what are you doing? I watch people fail in that area when it comes down to the doing. That's their failure. They're not doing, because the doing stuff, what they do is they believe what the Word says, and they're right in believing, and they confess that it's true. But then they walk around and act that what they do in their life is act like what they said isn't true. Their actions are opposite of what they confessed. See, I watch people in the areas of healing. They'll make they have a right believing, absolutely right believing. They believe the right thing. They confess exactly the right thing. And then they go around and act all the time like it ain't working. Their actions are like, this isn't working. Their actions are like, I can't do this, I can't do that. Well, the doctor said, no, I'm not allowed to do this, I ain't allowed to do that. And they're continually acting. They say, I believe I'm healed, but I'm going to act like I'm not. I'm not going to act like I haven't received anything. I watch people, you know, they say, we believe and receive. But I tell you, they have no joy. They have no nothing. Their actions are contrary to what they said. You got to start acting like what you said you believe is true. It's just like, you know, receiving money. You know, it might not look like it's working. But if you believe it, you've said it, you got to start acting like that money's coming. You can't walk around all the time, well, I don't know what I'm going to do, and well, what about this? And because on the side, that all the actions, and that's why people don't have the work. You start to walk around and act like it's true. And number one, if you can, training yourself to do that, it helps you mentally hugely. Because when you're walking around, and it's just too easy to get over in that worry stuff. If you get over it, and your actions will just lead you to worry, if you're acting, you know, acting out. But the doing is the thing. James talked about, you know, this person deceiving themselves. They deceive, a person who is not a doer deceives themselves. So they are not deceived by the devil. They deceive themselves. And when we know the truth is falling in line with the actions of the Word, is where we walk in to be blessed. So what we do is don't deceive ourselves. We become a doer of the Word. Do what it says. Praise God. Now, well, another one we looked at was always give the Word first place. We use Proverbs, or my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my saying, don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of my heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. So you give attention to the Word, and always do that. Give the Word first place in attention on things. When you run into problems and things, give the Word of God first place. Look to it. You know, I'll never forget this. This goes back to the years that we lived on Canal Street. I'll never forget. We were one summer. We went through an absolute, well, it was a drought that summer, and it didn't rain. We didn't have any rain for a long time, and hardly did any rain in anywhere. Probably Lebanon County didn't have much rain anywhere. I'll never forget this. This was a minister. They had him on the radio on the news. I'll never forget he said this. And when he said it, I was born again at the time. And I heard him say this, and I realized why the drought probably had continued, because the church was the problem. They were helping the devil keep rain from our area as much as they could. The guy says, well, we've done everything we know to do. I guess we just need to pray and believe God. I said, my God, we've already been almost through the summer. I've had a drought. Crops ain't growing. It's a little late for that one, buddy. You ain't going to help the farmers on this one. Well, we do need some water to drink, but would have been nice if you would have been doing that in the spring. No, in other words, they didn't put the Word first place. They didn't put God first place. He was not first place on the list. Now, people were going into their churches, at his church, every week. People going to his church, going to go doing all this thing with God. But they weren't doing the Word. They weren't acting like the Word. We weren't putting it first place. It was all talk. Because when he comes down to action, he told us what he had been doing. Nothing. Okay. So, and, you know, I'm sure he probably preached God has us, you know, dying of thirst for a purpose. Say, no, you've been doing this to yourself. You have deceived yourself. You're a self-deceived person. The devil didn't deceive you. You're self-deceived. So anyhow, but we incline our ears to the sayings of God. So be careful. It's like we talked about listening to the Word and doing things. We have to make sure that we do that. And, you know, Don't let them depart from your eyes. In other words, to keep yourself over and reading the Word. And we don't want to just from the standpoint of natural, your natural eye. You can do it your natural eye. You can do something with your natural eye, but not really view it with your heart, from your heart. Your human spirit has hearing and seeing. It sees things. Lots of times it's trying to get things across to us. It sees that we don't. And if we don't pay attention to it, we don't see what it sees. But keeping the Word of God, don't let wrong thinking get in. Keep the Word of God in the midst of your heart. Don't let wrong thinking get into your heart. Don't allow that to happen, because that can be a real problem. One of the things I want to talk about is instantly, number four was instantly obeying your spirit. Here's a hugely important part, is this one here, is the last one, is instantly obeying your spirit. Now it's talking about, don't misconstrue this to you have to instantly do something. This is where people, I see people do this and make this mistake. Some things God shows us comes up in our spirit. Some things are not to do right away. Some things that God reveals to us, we're not supposed to do it at all. That was an area that I used to make a mistake at sometimes, was God would show me something about a situation, and I thought I was supposed to go say something to the individual about it or something. Sometimes I wasn't. Sometimes I'd go, sometimes you're supposed to go say something to an individual. Sometimes you're not. I had to learn that. Sometimes God will reveal things to you into your spirit, and He does it for your information, sometimes for your protection. Sometimes so you understand what's going on, so you don't get involved in certain things, you know, that would cause you problems. He'll do that. And so that, you know, that's sort of part of maturity, you know. It's like this, you don't tell everybody everything you know. And it isn't, sometimes, you know, from the standpoint, people aren't ready to hear it, and it would be a wasteful thing. They told us this at Raymond. I found it was a really good piece of wisdom. Fred Brothers was one of our instructors, but Fred Brothers used to say this. He'd say, God called you, if God called you the ministry and He called you to a people, whoever you're supposed to minister to, He said, don't go to them till God sends you. He said, going into people before God sends you to them, He said, could harden their heart and you'll never be able to reach them. He said, wait till God tells you to go. It's interesting, the Apostle Paul wanted to go to Asia, to go into Asia Minor. What was Asia Minor? And the Holy Spirit forbade him and sent him up over in the areas of what we call Spain today. But you know, later on, Paul went into that area. But it wasn't time for him to go there. Things weren't ready for him to go there. So you don't always. Now, so when we're talking here about instantly obeying your spirit, we need to understand this. The things that come up in your spirit dealing specifically with you about doing and not doing in areas. This is what Apostle Paul made this statement in Acts, the 23rd chapter, which is... we want to talk about this because we're going to deal with the conscience. It says, Paul said in Acts 23, verse 1, it says, then Paul, looking earnestly at the council, said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. In other words, his conscience. Paul was always following his conscience. Conscience is the voice of the human spirit. You know how we have, you know, they're just doing the cartoon things, you know, and you have the devil sitting on one shoulder and an angel sitting on another. You know, you might get the devil when it comes and sit on your shoulder. But we don't have an angel sitting on the other side. You know, God couldn't send you an angel. We have our human spirit has conscience. Now, they try to predict it by one side saying do good, one side saying bad. Well, it is. But you're listening into your spirit on the inside. Listen, follow the conscience of your spirit. If your spirit is... you have a sense to not to do something, something doesn't seem right, don't do it. You know, don't let people push you. What you feel in your heart you should not do, you shouldn't do. I don't care if other people say it's okay to do. If your own spirit is saying to you, don't. Because, see, we're going to have to follow that. You know, that's where God's going to judge people. People don't get this. This is where God's going to judge people, because people have within themselves not to do it, and other people are doing it. You know, just because somebody else is doing it doesn't mean it make it right. But maybe God, maybe they're being told, but you're told to stay away from it. Stay away from it, you know. In fact, when the Lord spoke to Kenneth Hagin about being led by the Spirit, he told him, he said, He talked to him specifically about, because he was going to go and minister, he was looking at going to this one minister's church that had invited him to go there. And whenever he'd sit down and try to write a letter to that individual to about coming to his church, see, his days, you know, didn't necessarily always be able to call somebody or something, and he wrote letters to people and things. And he was going to write a letter, but every time he said he'd write that letter, he'd start writing a letter, he ended up balling up for a while. He just couldn't get this thing. And so Jesus told him, he said, you know, when you wanted to sit down and write that letter, and he said every time you did, just in the inside of you, something just wasn't right. You didn't know. He said, that was your inner man. That's your conscience. Don't do it. Don't do that one. But he said, every time you thought about this other ministry, he said, inside of you, somehow you got a good sense. Something seemed right. He said, that's your inner man. That's the conscience on the inside trying to point you to head that direction. Now, actually, that's the way the majority of the time God's going to lead us. The majority of the time, that's the way the leading goes. It's by conscience. It's the voice of our own human spirit. It's not by the Holy Spirit speaking to us. Sometimes he does, thank God. But majority of the time, it's by that inward witness. He used this term to Kenneth Hagin. He said, when you get a check in your spirit, that's a stop sign. He said, when you get that velvety feeling, he called it a velvety feeling. I don't know, maybe other people would put it to something else. But sometimes I just get in myself, that seems all right. But there's this over here, just don't seem like the thing to do. And sometimes there's no natural reasoning why you would think, why shouldn't I do that or why should I do this? But follow what's on the inside. Paul said he always obeyed his conscience, he said, until this day. So he followed his conscience. So Paul was following the voice of his inner man on making decisions. And this is what we want to do. Obeying the conscience will make you... Here's one of the things. If a person doesn't learn to obey their conscience, they won't hear the voice of the Spirit when the Spirit does talk. They won't hear it. The Bible talks about people who harden their hearts. It talks about a seared conscience. Christians, seared conscience. They keep doing things and doing and won't listen to their conscience till they get to the point they don't no longer hear their conscience. They go, that's why some people, Christians, they look out here, well, how can they keep doing that? Don't feel bad about it. When everybody knows it's a wrong thing and it's sin. Why? Because they have seared their conscience. Now they can sin without feeling bad. Well, you know what? I don't want to go there. I don't want to go to that place. I don't want to arrive where you can go over and sin. The Bible says Christians actually do that. They'll sear their conscience where they can go sin. It don't bother them anymore. They can sin and don't bother. They harden. They've hardened themselves. They've seared their conscience. That word sear comes from when they do, you know, they used to do like a wound and they'd sear a wound, you know, to stop it from bleeding and do that. Well, that's what they do to their conscience. And so they no longer hear themselves and no longer they hear the Holy Spirit. They don't hear the Spirit anymore. So we don't want to go to that. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy, the first chapter, speaking of individuals here, but he said this to him. He said in 1 Timothy, the first chapter, verse 19, having faith and a good conscience, which some having rejected concerning the faith, suffering shipwreck. See, they didn't follow their conscience. That was the voice of their own spirit. We want to obey the voice of our spirit in a direction we get a sense to do and not to do. And see, this is what I was talking about. Sometimes God gives you information, but you're not supposed to give it out. That's why you have to listen to your conscience. Your conscience will be the one of like, yeah, you know that, but don't do that. Don't go tell it. Don't go say that to that individual. That was for your information. You'll get on the inside, no, don't go say that. Even though God revealed it to you, that don't mean. See, some people think everything God reveals to me, I got to go do it. I got to go say it. Now, starting off as a young Christian, I used to think like that. You know, God reveals something to you, so you're out there trying to do it. Oh, boy, that and that causes a real mess. Okay, so but the walk of faith. If you try to walk by faith and don't follow your conscience, you will definitely end up in shipwreck. This is why a lot of people say, "Well, this faith stuff doesn't work," and the whole thing of it is. You know, faith. Walking by faith is not some legalistic do this, do that, do this. You know, we have to understand this. We teach, and when I teach, and any teacher teaches something, we take things that maybe we set out, just like here, we're teaching, you know, four steps of things, okay? But we need to know this. We're not teaching from, well, I'm going to do this step, this step, legalistic. It's like we're dealing with this area. You got to listen to your conscience in between here. There's things you need to hear. We can't just make every situation exactly the same. And so the right things to do sometimes is listen to your conscience. You got to listen to your conscience, what your conscience will allow you to do or won't allow you to do, and follow that in yourself. There was things because of religion, it was taught to me as a kid, that when I first got saved, I had a hard time being able to do certain things, and I wouldn't do them because my conscience bothered me. Until I got free of my spirit in the inside and taught right, until I got freedom, there were certain things I could do. But up until that time, I followed my conscience. I did the right things. You know, I don't care if an individual disobeys his conscience, he sins. See, people don't the church don't teach these things. We sin if we disobey our conscience. My conscience doesn't allow me to. It's like I said, no matter what the other guy's allowed to do, it's what I'm allowed to do. I can't disobey my conscience. So we have to learn not to disobey our conscience. It's a really important part of that. Is we're going to instantly obey our spirit, whether it's to do something or not to do something. We want to follow that on the inside. Our conscience is the most wonderful guide. And you know, it's the most incredible. Like, people talk about, well, you know, God condemned me or did this because, you know, I did this or that. Most of the time, it's not. It's your own human spirit. Your own human spirit is the one who will criticize you. Your own human, and see, what people do is they get doing something and their own spirit gets grieved because their conscience is trying to tell them, don't do that. And they do it. And they're sitting around saying, well, yeah, and I felt condemned. And well, you might have felt condemned, but that's your own spirit telling you, knuckleheaded, told you not to do that. It's not God. See, people put it over as God's doing. God don't have to do it. He gave us the most wonderful thing. He gave us a born-again spirit that has conscience, and that conscience is tied to things dealing with right and wrong. And that conscience, and that's why we, if our spirit is alive to God, there's all kind of things it'll pick up that'll help us, even though it has things that hasn't been taught yet. It's amazing the things it'll do. That's one of the most astounding things. And that's why, as a person truly gets born again, they have a different conscience. When I see a man say he got born again and he can still walk in the sin he did before, I know that's a lie. Because your conscience would never, my conscience immediately would not allow me to do certain things. Would not allow me to do certain stuff. Wouldn't allow me to. I see these people say I'm born again, and from the time they get born again, their conscience never changes. They have not got the same God I got. They didn't get the same born again Ed got. Ed didn't get nothing nobody else don't get. And that's why many times people don't get born again. In fact, Jesus told Kenneth Hagin, many times people pray a prayer of salvation and don't get born again because the prayer that they pray is not scriptural. It ain't scriptural. These religious people go out here and make up their idea of how you lead a person to Christ and what you get them to pray. That's why in Kenneth Hagin's books, all of in the back of his books is a prayer of salvation. Jesus Christ gave him that prayer. It's not his prayer. And the Lord said to him, if you have people believe this prayer, what this prayer says, and believe it and will confess it, he said, every time they will get saved. He said, many people in the church are not saved. Because they haven't been brought scripturally by faith to the word. It's by what men say. Well, if you believe this, I don't care what a man tells me to believe. I want to know what the Bible says I'm supposed to believe. Because that's what leads to the salvation of man. So, now we go over as to, as the book of Proverbs says this, concerning the human spirit, scriptures I know you've heard, in Proverbs the 20th chapter and verse 27. Proverbs 20 and 27 says, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of the heart. It's the spirit of man. The spirit of man is our lamp. It's our light in life. Paul's saying, look, I obeyed this. My conscience, I follow that what I got on the inside. On the inside. I remember as a church I was involved in years ago. And the pastor of the church was working with this guy, was a so-called prophet, which I'll tell you what, this guy, he would grieve my heart when I get around him. I never liked to just, I knew something was wrong with this guy and found out later on he was nothing but a problem, a troublemaker, dishonest, whatever else. And he definitely was no prophet. he definitely was not, and I'm not just saying, he was not. He didn't have the gift. He was no prophet. My God, he would be so wrong so many times, things he'd say, and dear Lord, he didn't know nothing. He was one of the worst teachers I've ever heard in my life. I mean, my God, after he'd teach, people would come up to me and say, what was he doing? What was he saying? I said, don't ask me. I ain't got a clue either. Who knows what he said? Well, anyhow, he had a group. He got together. It was down in Allentown, and he wanted to get a church started down there, and he was a prophet. He don't start churches. He just, you know, and he told the pastor he wanted to start that church down there, and they wanted me to go down and to this church and go down there. And I knew inside I wasn't supposed to do that. I'll never forget the pastor. He got mad at me because I wouldn't go do what he wanted me to do. Well, you're supposed to obey your leaders. Yeah, I am obeying God. I ain't supposed to be doing this. Number one, you're following a guy that's wrong. And if I listen to you, I'm following what he said, not what you said. It's about him. And he's messed up. Well, they found out later was he was messed up, but the pastor already ruined all kind of stuff. But he finally figured out this guy. Well, if he'd listened before, he never would listen to anybody say anything to him about the guy. So, but anyhow, he wanted to make it down and do it. And I just told him, I ain't going to do it. I ain't going down there. God didn't call me to do that. I'm not going to go do it. But see, one of the things that he didn't understand, he didn't care about what my conscience said. He only cared about his. I never force a person to do it. A person's conscience says they can't do that. Well, they can't do it. I mean, that's it. Conscience won't let them. You don't want to force a person past their conscience. Now, if you got a guy that says his conscience is okay to sin, well, that one you want to deal with. But I'm talking about in doing things like that. You know, you can't just push somebody in a ministry you want them in or you want to do. Or lots of people do those. You know, people ain't ready for things. And sometimes a person can be called to something, but they're not ready to go in it. I don't care if you know they're called to it. You don't go push them off over in it. If they don't feel to go, that's something they have to deal with. They have to do. You can't make them do it. I've seen it over the years. People in ministry that I've known, sometimes people were supposed to go, but they can't get it within themselves. And until they do, ain't no use pushing and shoving at it. That don't do any good. Have you ever noticed that? They got to work that one out. But the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. So when God's going to enlighten us, it's going to be through the inward man. That's where he's going to do it. That's why he's obeying your conscience on the inside. If the Holy Spirit is talking to us or is revealing, he'll reveal it in our spirits and to our spirit on the inside of us. And like Brother Hagin said, you know, if you get a person who is in the Word, like he said, if a person who's into the Word of God and following the Word of God, he said, their conscience is a really good guy. Now, you get somebody, now you can have Christians who don't have a good conscience because they said they had shipwreck. In other words, they didn't follow it, and they got to where they weren't listening to their conscience. And probably one of the things they were doing was putting things in themselves that were not right or good. And after a while, their own spirit became not a good conscience. Now, If you're not putting a bunch of junk in you, crazy things in you, and you're putting the Word of God in you, and that's the direction you're going, your conscience is going to be a good guide. You know, it's going to be a good guide to you. It's going to help you lead you in a direction. You know, Brother Hagin, he talked about, you know, the fact of getting filled with the Holy Ghost. I remember his story about that, and he said telling the story about that. But really, all the time, it took him a while till God got him over to accept that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was true. He didn't have a bunch of people around teaching, but he talked about one time about, boy, if I'd listened on the inside, I'd listened to my conscience, I would have known that was the right. But because of all the other things he was taught, he had this, you know, on the outside, all these things. But God eventually got a hold to him as he listened more to the inside. One day the Lord taught him about it and spoke to him about this baptism of the Holy Spirit, because he had opened the door to the Lord and said, what about this baptism of the Holy Spirit? And until that, he hadn't really listened in that direction. He just assumed it was wrong. But really, his own spirit was trying to tell him, yeah, go that way. So, you know, when he asked the Lord about it, I know why he asked the Lord about it, because there was something going on in him, the inside, about this thing, and it kept nagging at him. Have you ever been there? Something just keeps sort of nagging at you on the inside. And then a year later, you finally respond to it. And you, hey, have you ever been there? I don't know if you've ever been there. I've been there. Oh, I've had things at times that Seth was nagging on me for a long time. And I'm just sort of like, well, it just didn't fit to anything the way I looked at it. So I'm sort of thinking, And finally, I yield over to that, and then the Holy Ghost speaks to me. And I think, oh my God, I've spent all this time. I could have solved some problems. God is so merciful. He's good, and His mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. So, follow your conscience. And always talk about that. You know, sometimes I hear Christians, they sort of talk negative about themselves and even their conscience and stuff. They talk negative about it. Don't do that. Your conscience is the voice of your human spirit, which is born again. It's the part of you that's like God. Your spirit has been made like God. You know, you talk good about your spirit. Don't, you know, my heart ain't right. See, it ain't nothing wrong with your heart. It's your stupid head. Get right. And that's what it is. Lots of times it's people's stupid heads. And they keep criticizing their own heart. They grieve their own heart. Don't do that, you know. I've learned a long time ago, I don't talk bad about my heart. My heart is not like the Old Testament says, my heart's always to do evil. That was sinful man. That ain't you. If your heart is only to do evil, you're not a Christian. That's just that simple. You're not born again. It's a, your heart. My God, what did God give you? Your heart, you know, your heart loves God. You know, sometimes we do a lot of dumb stuff on the outside, but you know what? Our heart is not in it at all. See, I've told the story before how I criticized my own heart because of things, that areas I messed up when I was a young Christian. And I got over into things of thinking, boy, you know, I'm just messed up and my heart ain't right toward God and that stuff. And the Lord had to deal with me with that and told me to knock that off. And I never forget, and that was when He went and told me and had said to me three times and finally, you know, really sort of shook things around to get me to listen. He said, your heart's perfect toward me. Well, the last thing I thought is my heart was perfect toward me. See, you know, you don't understand this? You could be spiritually perfect and outwardly messed up. You see, I was a young Christian. My heart was perfect toward God, but I wasn't developed enough to listen to my heart and everything that was going on and all that the heart was trying to do. But my heart was perfect toward God. The Lord said to me, He said this, He said, you love me with all your heart. Well, see, all I was doing was looking at what I was doing on the outside and the things where I messed up and my mistakes. That's what I was looking. See, this is where people don't... Christians walk around all the time. There's many Christians. Their heart's perfect toward God. And they have no clue. And they live by how they view themselves in the outer man instead of the inner man. The Lord spoke to me in that instance. He said, quit judging yourself by outward appearance. He said, the word says, I don't judge man by the outward appearance, but by the heart. He said, and don't judge yourself like that. You judge yourself concerning your heart. You make sure that you're accurate about it. You don't talk about your heart in a negative way. Unless you know you got the wrong thing you put into you. But don't you do that. Don't accuse your heart for your stupid head. Don't do that. Talk about your... You're a born-again believer. And I'll tell you what, in that message itself, a lot of the church world needs to hear. That in the inside, people long to do what's right. I find many times people doing things that are wrong. But you talk to them on the inside about what's going on the inside, their heart's for God. Their inner man ain't got something bad in it. Their inner man's right. They just have been so noisy on the outside in their thinking and their doing on the outside, following what they're thinking. They don't hear it on the inside. Where the change needs is the renewing of the mind. It ain't nothing wrong with their heart. Their heart knows a lot of the right things already. They don't have to be taught. It already knows a lot of the right stuff. It just hasn't, they haven't got it into their mind yet. They haven't been let the human spirit teach their head. They have been trying to teach themselves with what they see around them and go, well, I know the Bible says, but, you know, I got all this, I got this going on and that going on. But their heart the whole time is, God. You know, I don't know if that was Jesse Duplantis. Might have been one when he was called up to heaven. and he said he was there in heaven. And, you know, God's trying to teach him some things and he's visiting with different people and he's, you know, the angel's going to take him up to the throne of God. And he talked about it. He said, this one guy showed up in heaven and he was just so excited and blown out. He said, oh my God, I made it. I made it. Now, I want you to think about that. But you know what? He probably thought in his mind, he was thinking probably he was in contact with his heart. When I get in contact with my heart, I don't care what I've done on the outside. I know I belong to God and I'm going to heaven. You know how many people by rote say they're going to heaven, but you know what? They've got all kind of doubts in their mind running all the time. Well, I did this and their stuff's running up there. That stuff is running up there the whole time, going on. The stuff in the head going on, they don't listen to their heart. Their heart's gotten shut off completely. That's what the devil wants in your mind to dominate your thinking so you don't listen to your inner man. If he can't keep you out of heaven, he wants to keep as much heaven away from you in the earth as he can. And that's what he does. He does it through the mind. He gets over people to stay mentally conscious and what you see, touch, taste, smell, to keep you in that area. He'll talk to you, tell you you're a no good, rotten scoundrel. He'll tell you anything under the sun. None of it's true. And you look at their heart, and the heart of the individual is good, but the person never judges themselves by the heart. They judge themselves by this voice. They judge themselves by all kinds of stuff. But they don't judge themselves by what is really going on inside of them. They don't judge themselves by that. I guarantee there's loads of people get to heaven thought they were going to hell because they were Christians, but, you know. They found, too, is one of the things it is, how many Christians, you know, think they committed unpardonable sins. End up mental institutions over, too. Huge amount of Christians end up in mental institutions think they committed an unpardonable sin. Well, that's one of the devil's goodies on them. I have never found out from any person I ever asked the question and thought they committed an unpardonable sin. What was it? I have never had anybody ever give me an answer. They don't know what they're... I say, well, if you had an unpardonable sin, you have to know what it is or you wouldn't know you committed it. But the devil deceives an individual so much. They just buy that and they get so thought up in that kind of thing. The whole time, they're human spirits born again. They belong to God. They're on their way to heaven. But they will live in this earth the whole time like they're lost. But you know what? They go to heaven. It's amazing. It's amazing. Because you know what? I've never found one of those people that ever think that they commit the unpardonable sin. They never turn against God. They just think they're the bad guy. You never hear them talk about, well, you know, God's bad and he did this thing and I don't want to serve him anymore. Well, they never reject Christ. They never reject it. They just told it. They're told that he rejected them. And they buy that thing. Yep, I was a bad guy. That's what goes on. People don't realize that the person's going to heaven is going to be in heaven, you know. But in the earth, it's tough down here. See, that's why if you can't hear your inner man, it's tough living down here. I know I was a sinner with a sinful nature. It's tough for Ed living down here like that. What's the most sad thing is have a born-again person and living in the earth under the pressures of sin and dominated by the devil, and the whole time they have a heart that's hooked to God and don't hear it. That's a terribly sad thing. Horribly, horribly, horribly sad thing. Praise God. Proverbs in the third chapter. Just a simple scriptures. We've heard these used before in scripture. We've heard this. But it's just good, simple teaching. And meditate on it till we do this. He says in verse 5, trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. And lean not to your own understanding. But you see what we've been talking about. This is the dilemma. The people trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know, when the Lord told me, I'd been speaking about against my own heart. He said, you know, he told me, your heart's perfect toward me. You love me with all your heart. Up until that time, probably for a number of months, I had not really looked in my heart in the area. I kept looking at the fact about, I've God saved me and look at me, I'm messing up and I'm doing it. And when I finally stopped and looked in my heart, when he said these words to me, when he said, you love me with all your heart, and man, all of a sudden, I could see my heart. I thought, oh my God, I do. I said, Lord, I do love you with all my heart. I do. You know what Christians have done wrong and they think something's wrong with their heart? But their heart is in love with Jesus. But it's been blocked off. They don't come in contact with that. It's because their noisy mind that they've let thoughts get in and let the devil get in, run those noisy thoughts. And those noisy thoughts keep them from seeing the perfection that's in them, what they really are. You know, when they get to heaven, you know what they're going to show up in heaven like? What they really are. Because the flesh don't go there. They show up there like they really are. And they show up there and, you know, they all of a sudden they're in contact with, you know, I really do love God. But they've been living down here thinking something's wrong. They've been living here this whole time thinking something's wrong. It isn't we need people need a new revelation. These simplistic things of the Word are so easy. He goes on to say here, verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge Him. In other words, put him first, instantly obey the voice of your spirit, acknowledge Him in all your ways, and what will He do? He'll direct your path. That's what He'll do. Where you acknowledge God, you acknowledge God in your inner man. And none of us arrived there. There's things that I miss still going along and stuff, and I miss things. I'm a lot better at them than I used to be picking up. I'm a whole lot better. Thank God. I'll tell you what. And you know, you might look at yourself in areas and think you're not. Don't criticize yourself. Everybody, even myself, we all need to continually develop in this area to hearing what's on the inside of us. All the time we run into things where we start letting the outside talk to us. Don't we? And sometimes we let the outside talk too much and too long. Haven't we done that? And we do. We let it talk too much and too long. But, you know, I found this. That happens to me much fewer times anymore. And if I do, it don't last long like it used to. I come over and say, hey, hold. Let's put a stop to this thing. This thing ain't right. Hallelujah. You know, as Paul wrote to the church of Philippi, what they were supposed to think on. The things they were supposed, whatever's good, whatever's pure. Just remember that. When you start thinking things and they're just bringing condemnation, it's like I said, when the Lord has ever rebuked me about something, it is never to bring condemnation to me. It's to get me back in line so He can bless me. He's always done that. See, that's why people walk around and are grieved all the time, as if God's doing something and are years of this grieving stuff. And yeah, Lord's saying He's still dealing with me. And say, get a life. That ain't God. Once you repent, it's all over. In His mind, it's all over. Sometimes I wish people could have heard what happened to me when I was at Reese and that voice thundered. I wish they could. You'd have thought, when that happened, when I thought that, my God, God's going to swallow me up or something, or lightning's going to hit or something. And when He said, you're disobedient. And I said, oh my God. You would have thought. And as soon as I spoke to Him and said, Lord, you're right. And I said, forgive me. I said, yeah, I disobeyed you and I did wrong. The next words He spoke to me, as if nothing had ever happened. I'd never done anything wrong. He starts talking to me like I'm a nice guy. That just is so astounding. I don't understand these people. God's whipping them for the next year or so. That ain't nothing but the devil. They're not listening to the inner man. What's whipping them is their own thinking. They're not hooked to their heart. They're not letting their heart bring the good understanding of God to them. They're on the outside. All they're doing is they're focusing. They let the devil talk to them. They're not thinking on what's good, pure, right, good, holy, and all that kind of stuff. They're thinking on what's bad. They're thinking about, oh, God's out to get me. Do you ever think how terrible that is? What do you do if God's out to get you? You can't rely on the devil. He can't stop it. Who's going to stop it? If He's out to get you, you got. I mean, what on earth are you going to do? I mean, all this worrying about it, all that, you might as well just go out and live every day. If God is out to get you, you might as well just live a life like sin, like hell, and just go do whatever you want, because it doesn't matter anymore. He's after you, so you might as well live as good as you can and have as much fun as you can now, because it doesn't even make sense. But it does in the mind of the person who's listening to the devil, somehow receives the idea that, yeah, this makes all kind of sense. And it don't. It don't make any sense whatsoever. Hallelujah. That's why you got to listen to your heart. Your heart's full of good sense. Your heart is full of good sense. And especially, you know, you guys here, you've listened to God enough. Your heart's got a lot of good sense in it. Hallelujah. And treat your heart in such manner. Treat it that way. Don't talk about it in any other way. You know, I bet if you'd sit down and look over the last 5 years and areas that you've missed it, I would guarantee you probably not one time was your heart in it. Not one time. It was an act of the flesh. it was an act of the flesh or stupidity of the mind, but your heart, your heart didn't want to do what's wrong. Your heart had no intent. It wasn't in your heart to do it. But listening to the outside. I said, many Christians, there's a whole big difference between sinning in the flesh and sinning in the heart. Sinning in the heart's a very bad, that's as bad as it gets. You can't, sinning in the heart being wrong is the major problem. Most people, lots of people have never, they think their heart is like me. I thought my heart was wrong. My heart wasn't wrong. I hadn't sinned in my heart. I had sinned through my stupid thinking. That's all it was. Unrenewed mind did things, and then let the devil get together with my dumb mind and condemn me more. Oh, hallelujah. But the revelation the Lord gave me from that experience really was, I think, was one of the most things that really changed my Christian walk the most after that point, was because I knew my heart was heading in the right direction. And I was, how to deal with my mind, deal with my flesh. That's what I was dealing with. And in my Christian walk, it's still the same way today. I'll have to deal with my mind at times, and I have to deal with my flesh. That's what I'm dealing with. My heart already knows the good stuff to do. My heart is already into doing, wanting to do the good stuff. And where my sin comes from is when I don't listen to my heart. And I listen to dumb. Dumb thinking or dumb that. And dealing with the areas of the flesh. And understand that about yourself. Be very careful in how you deal or talk about your heart. I see people go to churches, and really, in churches, their ministers are criticizing the Christians' hearts. Well, you're just, our hearts ain't right. We're doing this because our, and it is not. They have every intent wanting to do right. They may not know how. Maybe, as number one, listen to somebody saying that, they ain't going to learn how to do the right stuff. They ain't going to learn how to do it. And what happens after a while, they look at, my heart's no good. If my heart's no good, what do? I quit listening to it. I quit listening to it. Oh, man, we don't want to go there, do we? Hallelujah. Well, we're going to close there on that. That'll end this this series that we have here on this. Praise God. It's I think we learned a few things. I'm really glad going over, just refreshing myself. I have enjoyed this, going back over some of these things again. Hallelujah. So let's close in prayer here. Father, we want to thank you for your kindness and goodness to us. And Lord God, I just want to thank you because, Lord, nobody is going to arrive. Paul said he hadn't got there yet. So, but he did very good. But we know this. He said he always obeyed his conscience. So even though Lord God, he didn't know everything and he hadn't understood everything, yet he followed his conscience at all times. So Lord God, he wasn't sinning before you. Lord God, he was walking right, and he was following that the perfection that's in him, and that's what we want to do. We want to follow for the perfection that's in us. And thank you for showing us your great mercy and kindness and love in Christ Jesus. And I thank you, Lord God, that you're not out against us. And Lord God, I just pray, Lord God, my heart goes out to people, Lord God, that are just trapped. They're trapped in the thinking of their mind. They're trapped, by the devil, held bound by him. Lord God, Lord, there's so many believers out here that don't see what they really are, the glory that's in them. Hallelujah. And Lord God, they live in so much of a lesser glory than they have. Hallelujah. And so much lesser in the blessing of God in their life than they could have. And Father, I want to thank you for the Holy Spirit. In these last days is moving, Lord God, and begin to, Lord God, bring the light back, hallelujah, into the church again of the glory, Lord God, that you put in us in Christ Jesus. Lord God, that the Holy Ghost is living inside of believers, Lord God. Father, that revelation would become true, become real. Father, I just want to thank you for it. Father, we're just going to give you the glory and praise for all that you're doing, all that you're working in us. And Father, we're just going to put our trust in you. And thank you, Lord God, for all that you're going to reveal to us and show us in these last days. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.